Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on soil, grass, and cancer when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. John Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft back in 1880. And someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. And Swinton just outraged everybody by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it and I know it. And he said that back in 1880. And he went on to say, there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. And I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon and to sell his country and to sell his race for his daily bread. Now, you know it and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? He said, we're the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes, intellectual whores. These rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order. They're the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend we ought to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let you and I prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and the New World Order, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It doesn't cost you anything, and it's educational. It's entertaining. It's informative. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page and download that free general law CD package right there, georgegordon.org. Soil, Grass, and Cancer. Let's review a book. This one's pretty good. It's about a 1 in 20 read. There's a lot of books out there on health, the connecting links between health, vitamins, minerals, and disease. A lot of stories out there from agricultural sources on soil and the connection with disease. This is a good one. It comes from Acres USA. You can probably get it at Barnes & Noble. Title again, Soil, Grass, and Cancer. Let's start off by taking a look at some obscure facts that maybe the average Joe Sixpack hasn't heard yet. In the Bible, there's a story in Leviticus chapter 25. The whole chapter deals with two specific laws. One's called the Land Sabbath, and the other's called the Jubilee. Most people, religious or not, don't seem to understand the connection between those two laws and diabetes. They don't put together this land Sabbath and Jubilee and a disease or health or soil nutrition. It's just a total disconnect. Medical doctors don't put any connection. They don't put any value on nutrition. That's why you get bad food in hospitals. They rely upon drugs to treat the effects, to treat the symptoms of diseases. So if you've got a pain like gout, the doctor wants to give you a prescription, which is a painkiller. Now, pain, boys and girls, has a purpose. It alerts you to the fact that something is wrong here. It's kind of like you're driving your car down the road and you smell this funny smell, and your wife says, my God, that smells like antifreeze. You take a sniff and you say, oh, my God, yeah, and I see steam coming up through the cracks in the hood. And right away, you know, your brain starts cogitating a little bit, and you say, oh, my God, I think we broke our radiator belt. Or, you know, maybe we've broken a radiator hose. Are we overheating? You look at the gauge and you say, oh my God, it's on red. It's up to 260. Yes, the engine is overheating. So you pull over and you take a look. Now, some people would just say, let's just ignore it. You know, hell, car's still running good. It's going down the road. Let's see how far it'll go. And it won't quit right away. It'll keep going. But it's a warning signal. And the gauge, it's inside. You know, when you see the gauge go up over 212, you know, that tells you, hey, this thing's heating up. And you get a warning. Well, life is like that. When you get a pain in your body, it's giving you a warning signal. It says, hey, something isn't right here. Under ordinary circumstances, when you're feeling good, and you're in good health, you don't have any allergies, your eyes aren't running, you don't have an earache, your stomach doesn't hurt, you don't have a loose bowel, you know, you're not messing your pants, don't have diarrhea, and you say, hey, I feel great, everything's working fine, and you've got 30, 40, you know, very vital organs, you know, down here in your gut and in your chest, you know, you've got a thymus gland and liver and gallbladder and kidneys, you know, all these organs down here function. Now, you just wait until you get kidney stones and one of them starts coming out your penis and all of a sudden you're going to experience some god-awful excruciating pain. That's what everybody tells me. I've avoided kidney stones and gallstones like AIDS, herpes, and VD. When I have people tell me how painful that is, I say to myself, oh my God, I think I'll avoid that. So I looked into this to find out, well, what causes these kidney stones over here? And so then I don't eat that kind of food. Like, I quit eating fat. I stayed away from McDonald's. Now, there's a reason why we have a land Sabbath and a Jubilee, and it starts with the soil, and then the soil builds at the rate of about 1 inch every 90 years. I don't know if you knew this or not, but if you just went out in the woods, went out in the forest, at the end of the year, the leaves fall off the trees. And out in the forest, take 1 acre of ground, fence it off, and then just start watching that 1 acre of ground. Scientists have been doing that for hundreds of years now, and they've written lots of books on it. And what they find is that the leaves falling off the trees and the limbs dying and falling on the ground, the trees and the brush and shrubs and flowers and ferns and stuff, they grow up and they die and they decay. And termites come and eat them up, and bacteria and nematodes and all kinds of critters eat that up. They reduce it to black topsoil. And this black topsoil builds up at the rate of 1 inch every 90 years. Now, when you went to school, they told you about evolution, but they didn't tell you about soil buildup. They didn't tell you about the creation of soil. Now, when you go up here to Iowa and you get into a piece of flat real estate here in Iowa, and you dig down in the soil, it's common to reach down 6 feet and find 6 feet of topsoil. You can go down around a creek bank, you know, where a creek goes through a little valley over here, dig downhill sometimes 6, 8, 10 feet. I had a guy the other day, we were talking about the depth of soil in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's 400 feet deep. The Mississippi River's been running through there for so long, depositing the silt from the flood in the floodplains. And that thing's about 90 miles wide. I mean, if you take off, you know, from Memphis and go across the floodplain there into Missouri or Arkansas, it's about 90 miles before you get up into the Ozarks. And that river has been flooding, you know, for a long time, and it brings a lot of silt down out of the mountains and so on. Well, that's topsoil. That's what you're looking at here is the dead remains of trees and leaves and shrubs that are thousands of years old called organic material that's picked up by rain. And it comes down little rivulets and brooks into creeks and creeks into rivers and down rivers into the Mississippi and gets deposited. And if you go down to New Orleans, you know, south of New Orleans is the Delta. And that thing's been building up for about 4,000 or 5,000 years now. And it's pretty good size. Got a lot of dirt down there. A lot of dirt. All right. Now, with that little piece of information over here, now let's go back here 1 million years. That's not very long in evolutionary time. You know, they talk about billions and billions of years ago. Well, just go back 1 million years, okay? And let's use the evolutionary philosophy here from Charles Darwin. Remember, he's the guy that came up with uniformitarianism, wrote a book on it back about 1832. And he described how what you're looking at today, you know, when you're looking at the Grand Canyon and the Colorado River, it carves out about 1 inch every century, they tell us. About every century, about 1 inch. And we believe that because that's what they've been telling us. Now, let's take a look at the same evolutionary doctrine, uniformitarianism, as it applies to soil. And out here on the plains of Iowa and Nebraska and so on, there's buffalo eating. And they come across the plains and they eat the grass. And they chew it up real good. And then it comes out in the form of manure. And they don't eat all the grass. And at the end of the year, the grass dies and it goes into the ground. And this goes on year after year after year. And after 90 years, there's 1 inch of topsoil there. And then after another 100 years goes by, there's 2 inches. Another 100 years goes by, 3 inches, and so on down the line. Now you take a look at the average depth of soil around the world, and it's 6 inches. Average, worldwide. Yeah, there's places like Memphis, Tennessee, where it's 400 feet deep, been deposited there, you know, over years and years. And then there's places, you know, where it's 6 feet deep, and it's been building up, you know, for a long time and deposited there by streams and rivers and creeks and some other thing. But when you take an average, you know, you take a look at where there's none, down in Tucson, Arizona, and then take a look at where there's a bunch in Memphis, Tennessee, you average that out worldwide, it's about 6 inches. Now, let's do a little arithmetic here. Get your sharp EL1197G3 out here, like I do. Let me show you a little something here about evolution. We know from laboratory analysis and observation, which is what we call science. Science is something called knowledge. When you look it up in the dictionary, science equals knowledge. And it's knowledge that can be repeated. That's why we say it's an absolute science, because it's something that I can tell you about here, and then you can go out and you can duplicate it. You can go out and make the same observation over the next 90 years. Go take an acre of ground, fence it off, and just go out there and watch every year. I do that. I go down here under my trees, and then I watch the buildup of the leaves that fall underneath the tree, especially the cedar trees. And then I go down there and I take a hoe and I rake it up, you know, hoe it up into little piles, load it in my wheelbarrow and bring it up and stick it in my raised beds. And so I can observe that, and I can actually scientifically evaluate that, and so can you. Now, if you want the numbers that are written up in the textbooks and so on, I just gave it to you. Every 90 years, it builds up 1 inch. Now, let's do this for 1 million years, okay? So we'll plug 1 million into our computer here. Let's go one more nuts area, 1 million. And let's just go times 90, excuse me, wrong number. I'll take that million and divide it by, divided by 90 years. And then my computer says 11,111 inches. That's how much would build up in 1 million years, which isn't very long, you know, just a flick back in time here. Now, that doesn't quite tell us the story, so let's divide that by 12 inches and a foot, and it's 925 feet. 925 feet. Now, remember, the deepest piece of topsoil that we know of here in the United States is at Memphis, 425 feet, I think about, 425 feet. And that's been deposited there over a long period of time by the flooding of the Mississippi River. But in 1 million years, there should have been 925 feet of topsoil there just from the land itself producing an inch of topsoil every year. Isn't that just real special? Huh? Okay, now so much for evolutionary BS, huh? Because it isn't 925 feet, and evolution falls down again when you do the math. Evolution's a great philosophy, and it's a great story. Gotta love it. But when you apply arithmetic to it, it falls on its face. And every time I do arithmetic, every time I see one of these evolutionary stories, it's okay, well, let's just take the numbers here that they're giving us. You do the arithmetic and it falls on its face. Now let's go back here. In Leviticus chapter 25, the creator of the universe comes to us and he says, now listen, I'm going to give you a couple of laws here. And every 7 years, I want you to let the land rest. I don't want you to plant anything on it. I just want the grass to grow up. I just want the trees to let their fruit fall on the ground. That seems like a hell of a waste, doesn't it? I mean, here you got an apple tree out here. Year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you're picking apples and selling apples and eating apples. And year 7, here comes the boss along. He says, let those apples fall on the ground and rot. And you're sitting there saying, well, why would we want to do that? We would lose 1/7 of our production. So, you know, if you take 100 and you divide that by 7, it ends up being 14.28%. You're going to lose about 15% of your production. that's a bunch. And you're going to lose that every 7 years, and it gets worse than that. Because every 50 years, you got to do it 2 years in a row. So it's the 49th year and the 50th year. So in a 100-year period, you're going to have 16 of these fallow years, 16 years out of every 100, that's 16%. You lose the production. Doesn't that just frost you? Now, there's an important reason why that needs to be done. And that's why the book, Your Soil, Grass, and Cancer, comes to the fore. Now, they're not explaining to you why Leviticus 25 is important. I wanted to start off by giving you some foundation. The Creator tells us it's important. Jesus had something to say about Leviticus 25. Here's what he said about it. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Leviticus 25 were some of the words that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, religious people don't believe, they don't believe God, and they don't practice, they don't follow what he tells them. That's why Jesus said, why do you guys call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, I wanted to point out one more thing. The day that Jesus made that statement, which all you religious people know, you can believe it now because it's in the New Testament. That's in Matthew 4, verse 4. And it's a direct quotation from Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. Yep, Jesus did that. He cited from the Old Testament. Can you believe that? See, Jesus didn't know that the Old Testament had been abolished, nailed to the cross with him. He didn't know that. Shows you how dumb he was. Well, see, he didn't go to seminary like all of you lucky boys and girls. He didn't get a religious education, you know, from the seminary, with all the book learning that goes with it. Shows you what a dummy he was. Now, when he made that statement, not one word of the New Testament had yet been penned. So the only thing he had as a scripture to cite from was the 39 books of the Old Testament. Believe it or not, that's all he had. And he did that some 435 times in the New Testament. 435 times. There's 435 direct citations contained in the New Testament that are direct citations right out of the Old. Isn't that crazy? See, those guys, they did not know that the Old Testament had been abolished and nailed to the cross with Jesus. Well, I didn't have a pope. I guess I didn't have a preacher. I didn't have somebody to explain that to them. So when we take a look here at Leviticus 25, we can see the instruction, but the average guy can't put the dots together, can't draw the lines, you know, from dot to dot. And why would God want you to lose 16% of your production every century? What's the motivator behind it? Is he trying to spoil your fund, bankrupt you? Is he trying to cost you money? Or is there a vital connection here? Well, the answer is there's a very vital connection. It has to do with soil fertility. And in fact, he told us early on, you know, he told Adam and Eve, he said, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And sure enough, when we take a human body and we cremate it, we find out that it turns to ash. That's right, it's ash. And then when you take that ash and you analyze it, you find out that it's made up of 92 elements. Can you believe it? 92. It's made up of minerals and vitamins and amino acids, and there's 92 of those. Write that down. It's an important number, 92. There's 16 amino acids, if I remember right. And I think there's about that number of vitamins, maybe a few more. And then the balance of those are minerals. But you got 92. If you're missing any one of those 92 essential elements, you get sick. I mean, that's just life. That's the way it is. It's not true because I said so. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. Now, let me show you that. So I'm going to start right here on about page, I don't know, I guess it's 125. Now, let me show you something here about manganese of the soil and immunity of a cow against Bang's bacillus. Well, that's about three or four pages here. To give you an illustration here, let me show you what happens when you deprive an animal of manganese. Manganese, a trace element. It's a metal. And there's a bunch of these metals, like copper, iron, manganese, arsenic. Arsenic, can you believe that? Your body has to have arsenic. And if it doesn't have that little trace element of arsenic, you're going to get sick. You're going to come down with Parkinson's disease or something. Now, there's 450 of these diseases. 450 of this. You go to what's called the physician's desk reference. You can probably get a copy of it from Barnes & Noble. Probably cost you a couple $100, but it's worth it. It's worth it because it tells you what the symptoms are. You know, when you get scurvy, you look up scurvy and it'll tell you what the symptoms are. Now, here's what causes scurvy. Scurvy is the result of vitamin C deficiency. If you deprive your body of vitamin C, you're going to get scurvy. That's one of the 92 elements there. So there's about 15 or 18 of these vitamins. You got a vitamin B17. You ever heard of that? You know, apricots and peach pits. You got vitamin B12, vitamin B6, you know, vitamin A, vitamin B, vitamin C, vitamin D. You ever heard of that? Okay. And so, you know, the medicos, they're not dumb. You know, they go to school and they get degrees after their names, and they go into scientific research and they get into the laboratory, and they take rats and mice and they stick them into cages, and then they feed them a diet and they take all their vitamin C away. And sure enough, what happens? They get scurvy and die. Well, then when one of them gets scurvy, they give him some vitamin C and he gets well again. They say, look at that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It's like driving your car down the road, you know, and it runs out of gas. And you say, gee, I know what's wrong. If you put more gas in here, it'll go again. So you go put some gasoline in, and you find out gasoline is one of the vital ingredients that you have to drive a car. You know, it has to have four tires on it. Take one of them off and see how far it goes. Test it. You want to see how far your car goes on three tires? Take one off. All right, well, health is about the same way. And your creator over here designed it this way. Now, he probably screwed up and made a bad design here because you got to have these 92 elements. He probably should have cut them down to 32 or 41 or something like that, so you could better keep it under control. But whatever the number is, he stuck it at 92. Now, it just so happens to coincide with the 92 natural elements. Did you know there's 92 elements in the atomic table? 92. I don't know if there's any correlation there, but I thought I'd point that out to you. So here comes God along here, and he says, let this land rest. Now, here's the way this works. I do that here, and I've tested it over the years, and I can tell you how it works. Let's take an apple tree out here, and we've been taking the fruit off of it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Then in the seventh year, I just leave it alone. I just let all the apples fall on the ground, and they rot right there on the ground. Now, if you were to take a look, if you could see the root system under the tree, it goes out the same distance as the limbs and the leaves up on top. So what you've got here on top is an apple tree, and then down below in the ground, you've got another apple tree upside down, kind of like a mirror reflection called roots. And here's another neat little thingy over here. The tree gets all of its nutrition out of the top 2 inches of the soil under the tree, out as far as, in a circle, draw a circle around, as far as the limbs reach out. So the limbs reach out, and then the roots reach out to the same distance. Isn't that special? Called hair roots, right up on the top 2 inches. Now, the other roots that are down there, they're busy. They're working. They're not doing nothing. They're out there busy working. They're bringing up water if it's got a tap root. Sometimes you'll have a tree. They've got trees with tap roots go down 150 feet. Can you believe that? Alfalfa. They've got tap roots that go down 20 feet. Alfalfa. It's just a grass, you know. Here it is out in the field. But it goes down a long way, and it goes through the hard pan, and it goes down. It pulls up a lot of minerals. And on these hair roots that are on these roots out here, they got little creatures out there called nematodes and all kinds of critters and bacteria and one thing and another. In fact, in a cubic foot of this soil, there's 186,000 critters in there, and all those critters are important. Believe it or not, all of the bacteria, nematodes, and all of the spiders and dung beetles and all the little guys that are running around here in the soil and on the ground, and the termites and the ants, all of those guys are working hard to make apples up there on top of that tree. You know that those ants down there and termites, they're all working to make apples. And it's what we call soil balance. And if this soil balance isn't there, then there's going to be some minerals or vitamins or something missing, and that tree doesn't have it. Now, if the tree, for instance, let's suppose that it's short copper. Well, what happens is that the apples don't have any copper in them because there's no copper in the soil, or the soil's tied up in such a way that it can't get copper or can't get manganese or whatever. So then what happens is that the tree is deficient in its fruit of that particular element. Then there'll be a worm come along, a moth comes along, deposits an egg on the apple, the egg hatches, the little worm bores a hole into the apple, and then you bite into the apple and you get a half a worm, and it just really spoils your day, spoils your appetite. Now the reason for that is that those worms are designed by the Creator to eat the apples that are deficient in the vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Isn't that special? Didn't evolve, was created that way, designed that way. And so that's why when you see holes in an apple, you get suspicious right away that you don't want to eat that, something wrong with it. If it's got scale on it, right away that says, hey, this thing don't look good. And I don't have to explain that to you. Just pick up a scaly apple with wormholes in it, and right away, you know, if I hand you a good shiny apple, you know, that doesn't have any wormholes, no scale on it, and I give you one with scale and wormholes and say, hey, take, eat. Even if you're from the big city, you can figure that out. It's just kind of natural and innate. All right, now, the reason that these trees have scaly apples and wormholes in them is because they're nutritionally deficient. That's because the soil is nutritionally deficient. But if you let that soil rest once every 7 years, called land Sabbath, land rest, once every 7 years, then here's what happens. The apples rot and go into the soil. That feeds those 186,000 creatures down there. And the tree on its hair roots gives off carbolic acid. The carbolic acid goes out and it melts the inorganic material in the soil. See, that soil is also filled with grains of sand, silica, granite, just rock. I mean rock. It ain't organic, it's dead, it's like salt. And it converts that inorganic material into organic minerals and vitamins that you can assimilate and you can eat. Isn't that special? And when the tree has got all of the nutrients it needs, the insects, they don't like the taste of an apple that's got all the nutrients in it. So your Creator has designed this process over here that the worms out there, they're not your enemies, they're your friends. And they only eat the sick fruit, the deficient fruit, that's the only ones they eat. If you've got a tree that's nourished correctly, hey, the worms, the insects, and the bugs, and the scale, they won't attack it. So if you farmers out there find you got a lot of scale and you got worms and you got insects over here eating your crop, it's because you got sick soil. That's what your problem is. And the reason you got sick soil here, partner, is because you don't practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees. Instead, you're putting on chemical fertilizers. And hey, those chemical fertilizers really work. And I don't deny it. By God, they'll make that grass green and that corn's really going to shoot up. Hey, but the nutritional quality of that product is deficient. And to give you a little sample of how that works before we get into this manganese thing here, the wheat tested in Kansas in 1880 tested 24% protein. Today at 7 to 13%. And remember, from 1880 to last night at 5 o'clock, not one farmer in the state of Kansas has ever practiced one single land Sabbath or Jubilee. And if you think one has, send me his name and number, and I'll mention him on the air. Worldwide. No extra cost to you whatsoever. So now we haven't been practicing these land Sabbaths and Jubilees, so don't sit here and tell me now they don't work, because you don't know whether they work or not, because nobody's ever tested this. Nobody's ever made a scientific report. And that's what I'm going to do this week. I'm going to give you the scientific report because I've tested it here in Missouri. There's one farm in Missouri that has tested this. By God, I can tell you. I know the answer. All right, now it's halfway time. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then just click onto the archives page, and on that archives page, you'll find that free compact disc package, and you can download it right there, live and direct. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors and publications that we're endorsing now are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, or some other kind of deviants that we can't predict. And their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you're hearing on this program are mine and mine alone, so don't blame it on anybody else. They don't necessarily represent the views or beliefs or opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station, but they should. Now, if you would like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on to the webpage, and you can download that free general law CD package, remember, on the archives page. Or you can call us direct here at 417-273-4967. All right, we're reviewing a book here called Soil, Grass, and Cancer, which isn't the only book ever written on the subject, but it's a goodie. And that's fairly new, put out recently, sponsored by, and it's on the book list at Acres USA. Just Google or Bing Acres USA, Austin, Texas. Dial 411 if you want their telephone number. I don't happen to have an Acres paper here on my desk, or I'd give it to you, but just call them up down there and tell them, hey, don't mention my name now, because they may not like me. I can't predict. I'm not very popular. So just tell me I heard about this book, and it was reviewed, and I'd like to get a copy of it. I imagine $20 will probably do it. It's about 400 pages, well, 350 pages or so. Easy to read, very well documented. Got all the nuts and bolts in here. They're not religious at all, and they're not going to tell you anything about Leviticus 25. I just wanted to introduce you to that concept going in here, because these guys, they understand this concept of soil fertility and disease. They got that right. But none of these secular people, now, they're not going to recommend that you follow God's instructions in Leviticus 25. I just wanted to point out, you can save yourself a lot of time, effort, energy, and work, and money by just following directions, and then you don't have to work as hard. All right, we'll talk about that as we progress along. Now, let's take a look at manganese here. It's chapter 23. Abortions caused by manganese deficiency are not necessarily of an epizootic character. From the experiments of the University of Wisconsin, which were described in chapter 15, it was proved that a deficiency in soil manganese caused various defects in the reproductive functions in cattle. These defects often took the form of abortions. One of the scientists, however, emphasized the following point. He said, "We found numerous abortions in cows fed on fodders and grains produced on soils deficient in manganese, but no microorganism of brucellosis was found in the fetus of the cow, which indicates that these abortions were not due to this epizootic disease." It wasn't caused by brucellosis. It's caused by manganese deficiency. Now, occasionally in humans, we have an abortion. You know, you ladies are unable to carry your baby to term, they call it. And so this causes a premature birth. Preemie babies, okay? Now, we have this in cattle. It goes on all the time. Now, here's what we do with a cow. We don't put them in incubators, and we don't go to these heroic procedures that you find here in the hospital. What we do is we start giving the cattle herd manganese. And when we do that, then the abortions cease, and they carry them to the full 9 months, and there's no problems. Now, I know that's too simple. And it's going to deprive the doctors and hospitals and birthing clinics and et cetera of millions and perhaps billions of dollars of revenue if this were to get out. So whatever the hell you do, don't tell anybody about this. I'm just sharing it with you. But we don't want to spoil the economy here, especially of the medical economy, by telling you ladies out there that, you know, if you take manganese, you probably wouldn't have the spontaneous abortion or this premature birth. Wild new concept here. On the other hand, in cows that were affected by brucellosis, spectrophotometric analysis, what a word, huh? Spectrophotometric analysis of the blood and of the pituitary gland showed reduced concentrations of manganese as well as of copper and cobalt. All right, so write that down, girls. Copper, cobalt, and manganese. These observations led to the idea that supplements of manganese salts in the ration could play a protective and or curative role in epizootic abortion. A mineral salt supplement of manganese in the ration has no effect on brucellosis, however. Research workers of the University of Wisconsin then undertook trials to ascertain the influence of supplements in the ration of trace elements, particularly of manganese, on bovine brucellosis, and they found that the percentage of epizootic abortion was the same in the control group of cows as in those receiving the supplement. So it was therefore concluded, quote, "It would seem that there is no justification for the claims which have been made concerning the favorable prophylactic and therapeutic influences exercised by supplements of manganese salts in the ration of bovine brucellosis, unquote. Now, these conclusions are correct, and yet other experiments in another American university showed that manganese plays an important role in brucellosis. Manganese applied to the soil is effective against epizootic abortion. At the University of Missouri, two herds of cows were tested. All were affected by epizootic abortion, and the production of milk had fallen sharply. During the entire duration of the study, tests were made for Bangs bacillus. One group of cows was fed only with feed produced on a soil which had received suitable mineral supplements, in particular several trace elements, including manganese. The trials lasted for 4 years. All of the calves, which were born after their parents had received food produced on the supplemented soil, were absolutely free from Bangs bacillus, although being continually in contact with infected animals. Having arrived at adult age, the females calved without incident. Furthermore, the health of the group receiving this food coming from the supplemented soil had its health restored at the end of a certain time. The percentage of normal calvings increased considerably, and the production of milk increased to normal. Brucellosis, as all infectious diseases, is a biological accident. These experiments led Albright to conclude, quote, brucellosis suggests itself as an illustration of our undue emphasis on symptoms and pathology while neglecting the cause. All right, so let me pause right here and give you a little definition of that. Cause and effect. I mentioned that a little earlier. Let's try it. Take all of the vitamin C out of your diet, and we can predict the result. Scurvy, that's the result. We can put vitamin C into your diet after you develop scurvy, and the scurvy will go away. It's a miracle cure. Vitamin C, a miracle cure for scurvy. We can do the same thing for rickets. We can do the same thing for all of these 450 diseases that you find in the physician's desk reference, including things like cancer, enlarged heart, rheumatism, arthritis. You know, there's a cause and effect relationship, and the cause and effect relationship begins in the soil. That's where it starts. Now, we Americans are pretty well fed. You know, we got plenty to eat, and 27% of us are just plain fat. In fact, it's worse than fat. They call us obese. Now, as a result of that, you'd say, well, look at that fat man over there. He should really be healthy. He ain't starving. Now, when you take a look at this same fat man over here that weighs 320 pounds, you're going to find out that this guy's got atherosclerosis, that he's got heart disease. I mean, he's on, you know, his triglycerides and all of his tests and studies over here are just going to go right off the chart. I mean, this guy's a walking zombie. He needs health insurance. This guy needs life insurance. Hell, I would not deny it. I always tell my students when they come in here, if you're going to eat fat, blood, and white flour and white sugar, you need health insurance. My God, get out there and get it. You need life insurance. Go buy it. I wouldn't deny it. Now, for those of us that don't eat fat, blood, white sugar, and white flour, you still might need some life insurance or health insurance because of other bad habits, you know, like smoking or something else. But, you know, if you'd clean up your diet, if you clean up your act over here, you can save yourself a lot of money. Now, that's what I do. See, I got a can over here, and I take $12,000 a year, because that's what it costs now for health insurance. I don't buy health insurance. I just take the $12,000 and put it in my coffee can. I do that with my auto insurance and my health insurance and my fire insurance. And I put them in these cans over here. Now, my house hasn't burned down, and I didn't die, and I didn't get sick. And so, you know, after 10 years, you know, let's try it. You put $12,000 a year into your number one coffee can over here, and don't get sick for 10 years, hell, you got $120,000 in your can. Now, you know, from age 20 to age 30, when you're in pretty good health anyway, Bob, you probably aren't going to get sick between 20 and 30. Put the same $12,000 in your coffee can. When you get to be 30, I mean, now you can smoke and drink and do all the things that you want to do. And then you'll have the money to pay cash when you have these catastrophic illnesses. Now, if you're a pig like me, and if you can go from age 20 to age 30 with no disease, and you got $120,000, could you imagine what you could do from age 30 to 40 if you live the same clean lifestyle? You know, you Mormons out there ought to be doing this. You people just clean up, you know, since how you live pretty good. And you live longer than the rest of us anyway. And you don't get sick like the rest of us. Now, why you Mormons are buying health insurance beats the hell out of me. I guess it's because you eat fat, blood, white sugar, and white flour, although you're not direct sucking Cokes. All right, now let me point out that the mineral element does not exercise the same influence when it's applied to the soil as it does when it's added to the ration. The mineral element does not exercise the same influence applying it to the soil. Now, it would over time, but, you know, if you've got an animal over here that's minerally deficient and you put it right into its ration, this is what humans do. They take vitamins. I mean, you're eating out of Walmart, right? And you're going over to the veggies and you're picking out carrots and peas and beans and oranges and apples and all these foods. But these foods are being grown on deficient soil, and so the vitamins and minerals aren't in it. I mentioned this a little earlier. In Kansas, 1880, the protein content was 24%. Today it runs 7 to 13%. What happened to the protein? Well, you see, you just keep farming and farming and farming, and you're mining the soil is what you're doing. You're mining that soil. And what you need to do is to let the soil rest for 1 year. And here's what happens when you do that. Let's go back here and test this thing again. When the apples under the tree rot into the ground, it provides the nutrition that those hair roots need in the top 2 inches of the soil. You see the worms and the termites and the ants and all these critters, they come over here and they eat that stuff, they digest it, and then they poop on the ground. And then pretty soon, these elements that are in these apples go back into the soil. Now, let's just take a look at how this works. When you start up at the top of the Rocky Mountains, you're in a dead zone. Nothing grows there at 12, 14,000 feet. It's just mineral rock. Now, at the very lowest end of the food chain, there's a thing called lichens and moss. Lichens and moss. Now, lichens and moss can live right on inorganic rock. It snows on them and rains on them, a little moisture comes out. And in the north side, the lichens and moss will grow. And what they're doing, they are converting that inorganic rock into organic material. Then the lichens and the moss die, and they fall off into the rock, and over time they build up. And then as time goes on, as it washes down the mountainside to about the 10 to the 9,000 foot level, brush can grow. It's cold, and a little bit of brush can grow, and stunted trees can grow, as this lichen and moss is constantly turning the inorganic material into organic material. So at the top of the food chain, you can take lichen and moss and convert inorganic rock into organic material. Now, when it goes down the mountain, that brush needs about 10% organic material and about 90% inorganic material, and it can grow. It dies, it gives off leaves, and it builds up more and more organic material. And the further down the mountain you go, the more and more organic material you get, and the more topsoil. Topsoil, organic material. Pretty soon you get down here to the forest area. That runs from about 3,000 to 7,000, 8,000 feet. That's where the trees grow. Boy, do you get a lot of topsoil there. As those trees in the temperate zones, I mean, Mike, you got underneath those trees, you got soil, you got ferns, you got all kinds of life, moss, trees, leaves. God, it just makes tons and tons and tons and tons of organic material, which, you know, some of it goes on down the mountain, goes into the streams, and goes down the Sacramento River and is deposited onto the delta. That's why the Sacramento and San Joaquin Valley is so fertile, or used to be, until we ruined it and wore it out, but, you know, it used to be pretty fertile. And it's all this organic material coming down there. Now, watch this. You want to grow a carrot? Well, that carrot needs 90% organic material and 10% inorganic. Yeah. See, up at the top of the mountain, it's 100% inorganic, and then down here at the bottom of the mountain, it's about 90-10 in the opposite direction. So the plants that you and I live off of, you know, those fruits and vegetables, they got to have a lot of organic material. And that's why the animals, you know, when God designed these ruminants, oh, boy, did he make a dirt-making machine. Let me tell you this story. Do you know how much dirt a cow makes every day? You ever stop and think about that? I mean, a cow, you think of cows, you know, for meat, and you think of them as milk producers. Oh, yeah, they do that. They do that. But a cow produces 35 pounds of manure a day. Did you know that? 35 pounds. That manure is organic material. The cow ate the grass, chewed it up real good, and pooped it out on the ground. That's what the buffaloes do. And every 90 years, it builds an inch of topsoil on the ground. Did you know that? See, the grass needs about 90-10 also. It needs about 90% organic material to grow. It needs 10% inorganic. And that grass is converting the inorganic into organic. Did you know that? Yeah. See, you see that alfalfa that's reaching down there 12 feet through the hard pan and down into the mineral rock? Yeah, it's turning that inorganic material, that just plain rock, it's turning it into organic material that you and I can eat and utilize. Now, let me show you a little something here. You've probably heard of iron poor blood, iron deficient blood. Well, listen, it's very simple. What you do is this. You just take a nail and you go out here to your shop and you stick the nail onto an emery wheel, a grinding wheel, and you start grinding it. And pretty soon below that, you'll get a little pile of iron filings. Now, take that little pile of iron filings in the house and stick them into a glass of water and drink it. Will that cure your iron deficiency in your blood? Should, shouldn't it? I mean, iron's iron, ain't it? Well, boys and girls, you and I could take a nail a day. And you could take your iron this way if you want to. I mean, you could grind up a 10-penny nail, you know, and stick it in a glass of water and drink it. And you know what's going to happen? 365 days later, you're going to die from anemia. You can't assimilate any of it. None of it. Why not? Well, because it's not organic. It's inorganic. And you and I, being humans, you know, we're We're deficient, unable to do that. Now, let's test it another way. Take that same nail and throw it out here in the garden. It'll rust. Yeah, it'll rust. And it'll break down, and the carbolic acid in the plants will turn that iron into organic iron. Now go eat that spinach. And now you can get iron. It has to be organic. That's the difference between inorganic and organic. Now, you go in here, and some guy says, well, listen, we got vitamins and minerals here. You got vitamins made out of coal tar. Comes right out of the oil wells, which is about as useless as tits on a boar hog. If it isn't organic, tain't worth eating. Now, it is true. They're not lying to you. When they say this is vitamin C, they're not lying to you. Hell, that is ascorbic acid. I don't deny it. And they say, well, we made this out of coal tar, and ascorbic acid is ascorbic acid. Well, no, it isn't. There's organic and there's inorganic. And the organic you can't assimilate, and the organic you can. So simple, isn't it? Want to test it? Here's what you do. Take all the vitamin C out of your diet until you get scurvy. Then you know what the cure to scurvy is. It's vitamin C. Now go take the inorganic vitamin C and see if it cures your scurvy. Test it. Do it yourself. You can do that. Now, before it kills you, because you'll die from scurvy, before it kills you, make sure you got some organic vitamin C. Take the organic vitamin C and see if your scurvy doesn't go away in about 3 days. Sound simple, Anna? All right. Go test it. Now, there's organic and there's inorganic. We need the organic that comes out of the ground. And that's because agriculture is a biological process that has been converted into an industrial process for the purposes of making money. And that's what the problem with agriculture is. The problem with agriculture in America isn't that we can't grow food. It's that we've converted the food growing process into an inorganic industrial process like turning out automobiles. And as a result of it, take a look at our sickness, take a look at our diseases, take a look at our medical establishment, and that ought to tell you the answer to the equation, which we'll take up again next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. But meanwhile, we're out of time, so let me remind you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.